Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. Hopefully most of you are staying safe and not climbing the walls from cabin fever. This episode is sponsored in part by InfluxDB, or InfluxData.com, as you might want to know if you're finding them on the internet. They sell a time series database, which is similar to the fabled Amazon Time Stream, except it exists. It has existed for a long time. You can buy it today, but you don't have to. You can also use the open source offering instead of their hosted enterprise version, depending upon your needs. To learn more, visit InfluxData.com. And my thanks to Influx for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. So, what happened last week in the world of AWS? Glad you asked. Amazon Athena adds support for managing Athena workgroups using AWS CloudFormation. Fun fact, Athena workgroups aren't real, but the folks at CloudFormation couldn't possibly keep track of all of that. It's like Mad Libs for AWS release announcements. Amazon Aurora with Postgres compatibility supports Amazon Aurora Global Database. The glorious part of CAP theorem is that all of the large cloud providers love to release database options that pretend you can now ignore CAP theorem. Magical thinking now comes to Postgres. Amazon Data Lifecycle Manager, or DLM, adds support for 1-hour backup interval. I do not for the life of me understand why every incremental option for backup frequency requires a separate release. Make it a freeform field and be done with it already. Amazon EKS now supports Kubernetes version 1.15. And congratulations to them for that, because Kubernetes version 1.15 hits end of life 8 days from the release of this podcast, which means that if you're running Kubernetes, you're about to be in for a very sad Hanukkah. Amazon RDS Performance Insights supports RDS for MySQL version 8. Great, great. They're going to support a new version of the MySQL engine, but continue to pass over Route 53 entirely. Database analytics really shouldn't be this difficult for a database you've basically taken hostages in order to implement. Amazon Redshift introduces support for materialized views, which is now generally available. If you're struggling to wrap your head around what a materialized view might possibly be, don't worry, I've got you. Think of it as a cached DNS result. Amazon Redshift launches pause and resume. This is too good to even snark about. It lets you stop Redshift clusters and then start them again. Given that some of these individual cluster members cost $13 an hour, that's an awfully expensive database cluster to leave running while your data scientists are sound asleep. Amazon VPC NAT Gateway now supports tag on create. I'm holding out for the managed NAT Gateway to support terminate on create due to its horrible pricing model. To wit, passing data through it to store within S3 costs the same as storing that data in S3 for 2 whole months. Announcing Bottle Rocket, a new open-source Linux-based operating system purpose-built to run containers. Bottle Rocket does join the pantheon of Amazon-sponsored open-source projects named after things that will blow off your hands when you screw them up. You can think of this as an optimized Linux distribution for running containers. In other words, this is exactly the sort of thing that I pay Amazon to worry about for me. Why are you making it my problem? Announcing the AWS GameTech Learning Path. To get started on this learning path, please go talk to the cat standing up wearing a hat with an exclamation point hanging over their head. API Gateway offers private integrations with ELBs and CloudMap as a part of the HTTP API General Availability release. That's right, they had some embarrassing things that weren't available in ELB with API Gateway's integration for a long time, so they're taking advantage of the fact that HTTP APIs announced at reInvent are now generally available. HTTP APIs are awesome because they strip out all of the overcomplicated nonsense you don't want to have to deal with when trying to get normal API Gateway up and running, and they cost far less. Of course, the name HTTP API is freaking impossible to search for. Good job, Amazon, on naming things poorly. Let's instead talk briefly about something that's named super well. That's right. This episode is once again sponsored by Chaos Search. Chaos Search is an awesome name if you can get past the fact that they put the thing entirely in caps every time they write it down. Chaos Search is log analytics done correctly. They separate out compute from disk. You can scale up the storage however you want because the data lives in your own S3 bucket, and the compute lives in containers sitting right next to it, letting you integrate with that data via the APIs you're already using. You may love them, you may hate them, you may tolerate them barely, but they're there. Most notably, the Elasticsearch API is there for you without the fear of getting sued by a terrible company desperately flailing around for some sort of relevance or business model today. Thanks to my friends at Chaos Search. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io. And my thanks to them again for their sponsorship of this ridiculous podcast. AWS AppConfig announces integration with Amazon S3, and good for AppConfig for doing that. Meanwhile, the rest of us have been busily integrating our own applications with S3 in order to save a boatload on disk storage, but it's nice to see AWS services also get religion. AWS Batch now supports FSx for Lustre, new persistent and scratch file systems. Great. Why does Batch itself need persistence file systems? There needs to be support for that in the containers that Batch powers. Batch itself should really just be doing handoffs. So this seems like a little bit of a misnomer. I'll have to dig into that to figure out what it's really getting at. AWS adds the ability for customers to enable AWS local zones themselves. So the Los Angeles local zone is now generally available, but only if you choose to enable it specifically in your account. Help me out here. Is it launched? Is it not? Are they trying to avoid a sudden inrush of demand? Congratulations, local zones are available. Now set them up your damn self is not usually how these things tend to work. AWS Elastic Beanstalk launches Docker on Amazon Linux 2 platform in beta. The fact that it took over a year to be supported and only in beta makes me suspect that Amazon Linux 2 isn't the most well-supported service across various AWS teams. AWS Security Hub adds new fields and resources to the AWS Security Finding format. Yay! New fields in a CSV are always appreciated. Nobody ever builds tooling around CSVs, so this is clearly something for humans to read. No one's automated scripts just broke when random fields show up. Why would they? AWS Serverless Application Repository adds support for sharing applications with AWS organizations. Great. So you now can have special whitelisted things within an organization. It seems like there's a dramatic misunderstanding either with the public's perception of the serverless app repo or the public's perception of AWS organizations or AWS's perception of how both of those services are perceived by the public. Introducing Amazon Personalized Optimizer using Amazon Pinpoint Events. Huzzah! There's now a solution to tie their machine learning recommendation service to their user engagement service. Because it's AWS, they take both of those services that are aimed at two very different audiences, disregard both of those audiences, and market it to infrastructure engineers instead. And lastly, there's a new certification that validates experience in AWS databases. Good luck, DBAs of the world. It's time for you to brush up on your zone transfers. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Stay safe out there as we go through social distancing, quarantine, isolation, and we'll get through this in one piece. I'll be on Twitter entertaining you at QuinnyPig. That's QUINNY pig at your convenience all week long. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and I'll talk to you next week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you hated this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and tell me whether you prefer IXFR or AXFR zone transfers for your databases.
This has been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.